Welcome to Local Matters, the radio show about all things affecting Central Kentucky with Alan Stein and Skip Elliott. Brought to you by Citizens Commerce. Switch one time for a lifetime.
Welcome to Local Matters, a presentation of LM Communications. Brought to you by Citizens Commerce Bank. Switch one time for a lifetime. Here with my co-host Alan Stein and Stephanie Spires, chairwoman of the Fayette County Public Schools. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, Skip. How are you today?
I'm doing great because it's getting closer and closer and closer to more cool stuff.
Well, cool stuff is always cool.
Definitely. Yeah, hello, I'm Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for having me here.
Great. Thanks for being our guest, too.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you, Stephanie. There's so many things that people in our community want to talk about when it comes to our public school system. Give us just a real brief background on you and how you came to be chairman of the Fayette County Public School Board.
So I am a mom. I have four children at four different Fayette County schools.
Wow.
It makes carpool line really interesting. In the morning and in the afternoon. And I have been a foster parent in the community for almost 10 years, and I've had kids at a variety of schools. And my background is also as I was the director of Arbor Youth Services, where I worked with a lot of the homeless kids in our community and foster kids. And so I thought that I had an interesting perspective because I've had kids at so many of the different schools, that would be an interesting perspective to bring onto the board. And so when the opportunity came open, I applied, and then I was subsequently reelected, and I guess, as we were saying, I drew the short straw and became the board chair.
I was going to say, where's the Waffle House?
And here I am. Here I am.
Well, we're glad to have you. This is going to be an important conversation today as we're now beginning a new year here right after the first of the year. A new school semester is on the way. We're halfway through.
Yes.
What kind of report card can you give us for how the first semester went?
The first semester has been really exciting. We have started teasing some new programs, and we've put some workforce and task force together to see about expanding different opportunities. We know we want to grow Spanish immersion. We know we want to grow STEM opportunities for our kids. We want to expand the career academies. And so we've really been looking into those pieces. It's just been a really good year so far. We've started some new construction talk about some new buildings and new facilities. And we really are just, it's awesome. A couple years ago, we passed the district's first ever strategic plan. And it blows my mind right. That we didn't have a strategic plan.
That is crazy if you think about it. But
one of the first things we did when I got on board is we passed a strategic plan. And it really makes it so easy to do the things you need to be doing because you have this plan in place that we're just following along and we can see where our priorities are and what our challenges are. And it really is a roadmap to success.
Well, it's interesting. When you first got on the board was about the time that Superintendent Calk was rolling out some of these initiatives and strategic plans. And many of them were in not necessarily response to, but in consideration of some of the thoughts we were getting from the state about how we were going and the audits that we had. And we were in somewhat of a position of limbo at that time. Having adopted these strategic plans, the state is now telling us how great we're doing under your leadership and Superintendent Calk.
Well, it's funny you would say that. So as a foster parent, one of the things I noticed is in the past, we didn't have the same curriculum at every school. And so you would think if you had a seventh grader at Morton Middle School and tomorrow they went to LTMS, that they would be studying the same thing. But that wasn't the case in our school district.
Right.
And so I had kids come into my home that had been 8 and 9 schools in 1 year, but they were all confused and all lost. And it's just the way the state has set up the schools. But we were able we were kind of getting dinged on that, the fact that we had different curriculum, but we were able to go to all the schools and get everybody on board and to let's all do the same curriculum and let's, see that. And that has been a huge game changer for our district.
It has to be.
I mean, yeah, kids are, we are a transitional district where a lot of kids do move around, and so they're not falling behind, which means their test scores are up. their grades are up, they're more engaged in what they're doing. And what's also interesting about the curriculums that we've put in place is they have pieces in place for the kids to do extra practice outside the classroom, both technologically, but also with books, like physical books, and that kind of blows people's minds. But, you know, some of our kids don't have access to technology at home, and we want them to still be able to practice those math skills, those science skills and such. So this is a really cool way that we're really trying to make sure we're reaching all of our kids. And we're seeing great response both from our kids but also from the state saying, okay, this is a game changer.
Yeah, it's really made a big difference. There's so many topics that we could talk about. Let's spend just a little bit of time on each one of them. Let's start with something that's a hot button around the country, but it's particularly important here in Central Kentucky, is workforce development. Mm-hmm. What is the school system's new approach to that part of our economy?
Well, so we are really looking at our high school students, and we want them to not just be, you know, traditionally it was you pick a technical path or you pick a college prep path. And we want our high school students to graduate college and career ready, so that they can make a choice. And that choice could be whether or not, you know, if they choose to go into college, they'll be successful there. But if they choose to take some time off and work, they'll be successful there and they'll earn a living wage, not just going out into the workforce, but going out and having a living
wage.
And
not every child needs to go
to
a 2 or 4 year higher education institution of learning. There are different career paths that can all be successful in their own ways.
Right. Well, and I look at, like, my oldest, for example. She is a senior, and she is taking her CNA test this week through the school. She's been practicing for it. She's been doing. So she is going to graduate high school with a CNA license already.
Right.
And she is going on to nursing school, but now she has some opportunities as well to work on the side at a nursing home or somewhere and earn some extra income and get some extra experience to help her be successful as a nurse later on. And that's what we're looking at is, so we have these career academies at Tate's Creek, Bryan Station, and
Douglas,
thank you. And the kids get to pick a major based on what they're interested in now. This doesn't mean this is what they have to do forever. But, you know, if you're interested in medicine, then you take the medical path over at Frederick Douglass, and then you might get your CNA or your EMT license. But you also, instead of, like, in your English class, because they're kind of in these cohorts, in these English classes, for example, you might be reading the Journal of American Medicine, which is kind of a cool thing. So it's really geared towards your interest. And you might find out, you know what, I don't want to go to med school. I want to be an attorney. And it'd be better to figure that out in high school than it would to spend a couple years trying to be pre-med and those grades not doing so great in college or whatnot. So, you know, it's really just gets kids where they're interested. It does get kids engaged. We're seeing at Bryan Station less behaviors than we've ever incidents. We're seeing higher attendance. Kids are coming to school. They're wanting to come in school because they like what they're studying. And it's just, it's been awesome to really watch.
And the research is showing us that gang violence is down.
Yes.
That teen pregnancies are down.
Yes.
From these career academies, and it's all about engagement. The kids are doing something that they have chosen to be interested in, and so they're coming to school more, they're paying more attention, they're trying harder.
Right.
It's a win-win-win all the way around.
I think it's also good going into college, like your freshman year. Oh, don't decide on anything.
Right.
Just play it by ear, and then you finally figure out what you're getting. You're actually moving them up on that career path a little bit. That really helps.
Yes, because college is expensive. We don't really have I don't know any parent or any child that has a year to waste thinking about what they want to be.
Well, and conversely, because of these programs who have dual credit opportunities at BCTC, UK, and other places, you're earning some of these kids are earning college credits, and they're going to school. They may have already.
Yeah, they're coming in as sophomores.
They come in as a sophomore. And if you're talking about $30,000 a year, that's a big savings for a family.
Right.
Skip. That's different than reclassifying to become a basketball player.
It's
right?
Different.
Okay.
Yeah, it's different.
Blew my mind.
Well, the reclassification is a whole different thing about kids that do graduate, mm-hmm. by the way.
Yes.
But, yeah, go ahead. They're not getting paid. Let's make that clear.
Okay.
Coach Cal would like us to make that distinction.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Now, in Fayette County, we've taken it from where we were 10 years ago to this. How hard has that been to bring it up to this standard?
I think the hardest part at first is to get, you know, people fear change. And so to get the buy-in from the teachers and the staffs and the schools, there was a little.
That also includes, or would it include, having a plan for a substitute teacher rather than we're watching a movie today.
Right, yes.
So they're actually learning when the teacher's not there.
Right, exactly. So there was some of that, but, you know, it's had such positive results. What's been really awesome, and I think Alan can speak to this too, is to watch the business community jump on board. Mm-hmm. And everyone is a player in this and wanting to participate. You look over at Bryan Station, for example, the graphics arts department, the video department, they, you know, when people come to me and say, I need a video done for my business, I say, call the kids at Bryan Station. Yeah, you know, they are doing really awesome things.
Well, plus, I know my daughter is one of the teachers up at Leestown Middle, mm-hmm. and they've got a wonderful STEM program there that won some awards.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, too. That's one of the programs we're looking to expand is really our STEM and our STEAM. You know, one of the great things is that we've purchased the property over on Georgetown Road, and we're getting ready to renovate that into the STEAM Academy. And then we also after years of trying to find STEAM a home, our upper-class STEAM students are actually on UK's campus.
Right.
And that is huge as far as getting that experience and having those facilities. I mean, they have top-notch labs over there and things that we wouldn't be able to offer in our classrooms. And they're on a college campus earning college credit, and they're juniors and seniors. So that's been really awesome, too. So we're, you know, STEM and STEAM are things we're really looking to expand and really looking to attract females. And because that's, you know, historically a group that hasn't been engaged. We haven't provided them opportunities and haven't really encouraged them to go down the STEM path.
This is Local Matters, a presentation of LM Communications, brought to you by Citizens Commerce Bank. Switch one time for a lifetime. We're with Stephanie Spires, chairwoman of the Fayette County Public Schools.
Stephanie, let me ask you a question. A hot button over the course of the last semester was the debate about an increase in property taxes to pay for a comprehensive school safety plan. Can you give us that did pass.
Mm-hmm.
The recall failed to put that on the ballot. So it is part of what we do. Can you give us an update of where we stand?
Yeah, so we are in the process of actually putting in the metal detectors into the schools and putting the alarm systems into the schools. You know, we talk about, for example, Henry Clay has 70 outside doors, and so we are in the process of putting alarms on all those doors so that kids just can't prop them open and let their buddies in. And we know who's coming in and out of our buildings. We have just under 30 schools that are going to get renovations and with their entrances, so that there would be kind of like when you go into a bank, you got to go through one door and into another door.
Yeah, the vestibules.
The vestibules,
right.
Yeah. So we have almost 30 schools that's going to be happening in. We have already made some hires in the mental health fields as far as additional social workers and additional mental health providers.
That's one of the things that's most underrated in the discussion.
Yes.
Is how this whole comprehensive plan is going to address well beyond just guns going in and out of school. The mental health and safety of our students is going to be paramount. And with that, as I understand it, we're going to be able to address not just the physical safety in the school, but the mental well-being and health of all of our students.
Right. Well, and I think that's a big piece because we're kind of prepping for the big disaster or the big emergency, but we know that the reality is, I mean, unfortunately, those are increasing, but that's still, that if that happening is very small. What's not small, unfortunately, are teen suicides.
That's
what's
right.
Not,
it's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic. And we're seeing it in younger and younger children, and we're seeing kids, you know, fall through the system because they aren't getting the mental health services they need. Because there aren't a lot of mental health providers for youth in our community. I mean, that's an area we're deficient, and so parents sometimes struggle and recognize their child is struggling, but they can't get them into a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And so what we are doing is we're bringing this into the schools, and we are going to be assessing every child and getting ahead of the system, looking for the signs, identifying what these kids need. And so that is that's to me a huge piece, because these kids can't learn. Like, if you come to school and your mental health needs are not met, you're not going to be a successful student. And so I think that is a huge piece. We also have already hired nurses. I think the new nurses started a couple weeks ago in December. So we've got nurses.
And counselors.
And counselors.
Right.
Yes. And then we also have started expanding the police department. And so eventually we will have an officer in every single school in Fayette County. And we, the first class has just gone through, and it's a really cool class. It's made up mostly of kind of retired officers from the Lexington Police Department and some of the other surrounding area police departments that really want to interact with kids. And I think one thing, you know, I really try to stress to people, because sometimes when people hear police in schools, they really think like we're policing the schools, or we're interrogating kids, we're intimidating kids. And I challenge you to go into the schools and see these officers. They are engaging with these kids, reading to these kids, forming relationships. You know, my four-year-old loves her officer in her school. And she, you know, knows him by name and talks to him. But at the same time, this is also how we're going to avoid tragedies,
right?
Because we're going to have relationships. I mean, this is what this is all about, is building relationships and getting help for those who need help, and identifying, having people you can trust. And so it's really exciting to see. But those things are all already in place. And, you know, one of the big questions has been about the money. Well, when you're done with the construction, why do we still need this money?
Right.
And the reason is that we're going to continue to expand the mental health professionals. Right now we are, you know, I think we're about 1 in 350 to 400, and we really need to be about 1 to every 200, 250 students.
Right.
And so that's where this cost is going to, you know, we're going to shift the money to some of the other priorities, but we're just, you know, we can't go out today and hire.
Can't do it all at once.
We can't do it all at once. So, but that is where, you know, the construction is the top priority. And then when that is done and finished, we'll move on to hire more professionals.
When you were hiring the police officers,
mm-hmm.
were you looking specifically for retired police officers? Mm-mm. Because they know how to treat kids.
Right. We weren't, but that was what's cool, is that's who's been applying.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been, and that's helpful too, because a lot of them have that background. So we're not just getting brand new rookie officers.
Right.
We're getting officers that have 20, 30 years experience.
Maybe in that neighborhood.
Right, and already connected. And so that's what's been really cool, but that's who's been applying. And so that's who kind of the first class to come through has been.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Now that we're here at the first of the year,
mm-hmm.
And the legislature is back in session, clearly things that happen in Frankfort have impact on what our school board and school system can and can't do. I assume you have some priorities for this legislative session?
Yeah, so it's not a budget year, but that doesn't mean a lot in Frankfort these days. You know, we know that we anticipate some legislation. What we're hearing, grumblings coming out about, you know, they set up charter schools but never set up funding for charter schools. So we're not sure what it's going to look like if they go back in a non-budgetary year, how they're planning on going in to fund charter schools. But it does look like they may explore that option. So that's something we're keeping our eye on to see, you know, one, how they're going to do that, where that money's coming from. One of our biggest priorities is to keep our education funding intact and to keep it at the levels that have been promised to us. You know, we don't want to impact the classroom. And that's one thing in Fayette County, you know, we took a really substantial hit, several million dollars, and we were able to preserve the classroom. We didn't cut anything.
You know, that's an interesting point. I don't mean to interrupt, but the SEEK formula in Frankfort
mm-hmm.
actually went up slightly.
Right.
Per student spending. However, as it gets distributed throughout the state, the bigger and more wealthy districts have to redistribute some of theirs. So even though our per student allocation went up, our total cost went down. And so we lost about $5 million
right.
in that exchange.
And it ended up, it was about 22 positions in central office is
right.
what we eliminated. And you know,
but you and the superintendent were able to cut central office positions, but no teaching positions.
Right. No teaching positions, nothing in the classroom. But I'm here to tell you at this point, we're that lean. There's nothing left to cut. So, right. And we really are adamant we want to preserve the classroom. And so that is one of our goals. Transportation is also a big goal. Frankfort continually cuts our transportation. And, you know, that is a huge cost for our district, is getting our kids where they need to be. And so that's something that we are continuing to advocate for. You know, fully funding teachers' pensions. We support our teachers. We're going to continue to advocate for that as well. So it's an interesting year, because it's not really a year they should be doing some of these financial things, but the indication is that they're going to try to go in and look at some of them. So we're going to keep our eye, and we're going to be in Frankfort. I think we're all going to be up there.
All right. Well, let me ask you another question, going in a different direction. This year we have new school board members.
Yes.
You're chairman of the board, but can you give us an idea about our new folks?
Yeah, so we have two new members coming on board. Doug Barnett, who has been on our board for the last 8 years, did not run for re-election, so we said goodbye to him in December. And filling in his place is Tyler Murphy. And Tyler is a teacher. He's a social studies teacher in Boyle County. And he was a teacher in Visalia before that, and he is a big proponent of public education. And so he's more vocal and he's more loud. I think you'll see Tyler out and about. But he is very passionate about public education, and he will be a great addition to the board from his experience in the classroom. And then Will Nash was appointed recently to fill Melissa Bacon, the former board chair's position,
and he was appointed.
So he was appointed. So he'll have 2 years to serve, and then he can.
Is that a gubernatorial appointment, or is it a
the Kentucky Department of Education?
Thank you.
It's
so Commissioner Lewis.
So Commissioner Lewis made that appointment, and Will is interesting because he was also a teacher. He did Teach for America, and he does some consulting with. He works for a nonprofit that consults with school districts across the country, mostly large urban districts, very similar to Fayette County. And he looks at, like, if they have a capital issue. So, for example, I know one of the districts that he works with does not have enough minority principals in the pipeline, like, for their district, and that's a priority they have. So he has worked on developing a program to get more principals trained to have the qualifications to be, or more, excuse me, teachers and individuals trained to be principals. So sure. He has a wide variety of experience as well. You know, it's an interesting group. I have four guys, and I'm the only female. What also is interesting is only two of us have kids in Fayette County School now, which is kind of...
Well, you have enough for everybody.
I have enough for everybody. So, because some of the kids, one of our other board members has had kids, and his have graduated, and so, but neither of the two new guys do, which is kind of interesting. And so, but we still have a good diverse group. You know, I tell people equity is the issue that comes up a lot.
Right.
And if there was ever a board that was really going to tackle that, I think that's this crew. You know, of us that have kids, we both have kids that are minorities. We have kids with special needs. So we are in the classroom, and we know what the issues in the district are and the challenges. And we know that we've made some great strides, but we still have some places to go. And so it's a really exciting board, and I'm excited to lead them. But it's definitely a lot of different personalities, so it's going to be
fun. When it turns fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to working with all of them, though.
We've got time for one more topic. Let me ask you about this, and it doesn't have to be a long and drawn-out thing, but I do know that the Long Range Planning Committee has been back in session.
Yes.
Under mandates from Frankfort, generally speaking, about how we build out our school system. What can you tell us about what the near future looks like in terms of renovations and new buildings and that sort of thing?
So, as I said, we're teasing some new programs because we do know that some of our schools are decreasing in population just as the neighborhoods are aging and whatnot. And so rather than just keep building and building and building when we don't even have land to build, we still want to build that middle school if anyone knows any land.
Yeah.
But we don't have any land to build a middle school still. So,
which we really need out in that part of town.
Which we really
Squires
need.
Road area. Yeah.
Yeah, we really need. And so we're still actively looking for land. But in the meantime, we're also looking at how we can reuse our portfolio of schools that we have to make sure that we're being good stewards of money and being good stewards of the community. We know that all of our high schools need renovations. Tate's Creek is up first. Mm-hmm. And then I hear from people every day about whether it's Dunbar, Lafayette, Henry Clay. All three of them need it. We know it. So we're trying to get a plan in place to get all the schools up on the renovation block. And several of our middle schools need some renovation, you know, and we, as a district, for a long time, a lot of our schools didn't get touched. And then thankfully, we do have this dedicated funding source now, this nickel, that is dedicated to renovations and has allowed
only.
Cannot
be used in general funds, cannot be used in central office.
Right.
It is for the actual use of building new or renovating old schools.
Exactly. And so because we have that funding, which is awesome, we've been able to kind of catch up, but we still have lots of schools that need to be touched, and we know that. And so that's what we're trying to investigate with this plan. And like we said, we're getting ready to turn renovate the Georgetown property so that the Success Academy and STEAM can both be housed over there. And then it also has some land with it, so we might explore what else we can do, because we just have to look at what land we have, just
right.
Because land is...
Well, there is acreage with that
yes,
property.
Yes, there is acreage yep. over there.
Now, is there any could you swap a piece of land like UK did with the city?
I think if we could find something to swap, I think people would be open to swapping, but mm-hmm. there's just not. I mean, there's so many specifications, too, as to what Frankfurt says you have to have in a piece of land that you're building on. And so it's really hard to get something, even through the Kentucky Department of Education, to get approved as far as size and environment.
All right, Stephanie Spires, what a great, this has been a good edition of Local Matters. We appreciate you, the chairwoman of Fayette County Public Schools. This wraps up this week's Local Matters, brought to you by Citizens Commerce Bank. Switch one time for a lifetime. Join us next time for another edition of Local Matters.
You've been listening to Local Matters, the radio show about all things affecting Central Kentucky, brought to you by Citizens Commerce. Switch one time for a lifetime. The views expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of LM Communications Broadcast Media Group affiliates or sponsors.